Before we prepare for our meditation, I'd like to take a moment to introduce our guest speaker for today, Reverend Dr. Raymond Anderson. Unity, Reverend Sylvia reminds us week in and week out to meditate. And she says that it is our consciousness that drives our experiences. Does she not? So how fitting that when you visit the website of our guest speaker, you're greeted with this quote by Carl Jung, "Who looks outside, dreams. Who looks within, awakens." Reverend Dr. Raymond Anderson, an ordained New Thought minister, has returned to Unity as our guest speaker today. We know him, and we know him as always working diligently to transform the planet, one heart, one mind, one person at a time. But we also know that in order to reach the extensive variety of people on this planet, one needs various approaches. Various approaches call for different and multiple skills. So thus we have the many profiles of Reverend Dr. Anderson. We have the performer and the artist to reach the creative. We have the well-degreed teacher and life coach for the searching student. We have the speaker and workshop leader for those ready to be motivated. We have the prayer warrior, minister, and intense meditator for those working on inner expansion toward mastery. Reverend Dr. Anderson's universal message is simple, yet not necessarily easily obtained. It's based on three principles. Balance is key. Commune with your universe. And live, laugh, and love. So here to share with us the joy and fulfillment attached to living, laughing, and loving is the Reverend Dr. Raymond Anderson. Please give him a warm Unity welcome.
So how is everyone today? Is it too hot for you? Is it just right? Now, I start off with that because it's a very interesting thing that we get mixed up, lost, and confused between what is true and what's a fact. So while it is a fact that it may be 112,699 degrees outside at this present moment, it doesn't mean we have to feel hot. Or if we feel hot, that we have to hate feeling hot and sweaty. That's a choice. Now, my sister, the woman sitting right there in the purple as well, copying off of me, she goes outside right now. I guarantee you this right now. If you look at her right now, she's got a scarf on her neck. Everybody else is fanning. Tracy's got a scarf around. Because what is true for my experience and hers are different. So there is this thing, there are levels of truth, or how we experience these levels of truth. And we oftentimes get it twisted. Anybody in here young enough to remember back in the day this line? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Oh, a couple of y'all remember that. Okay. Now, I mention this once again because it's very easy for us, even as enlightened as we are as metaphysicians and mystics, to watch the news and believe that the facts are the truth, and they're not. Just because something happened does not mean that this thing that happened is, one, bad, right? I mean, we say God is all there is. One power, one presence. God the good, omnipotent, or omniscience itself. And if God is all there is, and it is good, then where is there room for bad? Now, I understand that in our human experience, we are going to experience these things that we refer to as bad. And that's fine, as long as we understand that there's this thing called for linguistic convenience only. As long as we have this understanding that there are times where we're going to say, try. But in the words of Yoda, do or do not, there is no try. Because once again, if I'm gonna do my best. I'm going to try to pick this up. Okay, did I do it? No. I either picked it up or I didn't pick it up. How do you try to, you either do it or you don't. But I understand for linguistic convenience, we are going to say try. But it is very important for us to identify and recognize what is in our consciousness when we use the words that we use. In 1977, there was this movie where this guy by the name of George Burns and this other guy named John Denver and this woman named Terry Garr. You know what movie I'm getting ready to mention? Okay. So George Burns was God. And there's this scene at the end of the movie where they're in court and John Denver's on trial and God comes in. And he goes up and the bailiff, you know, they swear you in. And the bailiff says, do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? And he says, so help me, me. So help me, me. I find it very interesting that no matter where you look, metaphysical lessons show up all the time if we are willing to see them. Alan Watts, famous Zen guru, went to go see a friend of his, a teacher, to learn about the Zen classics. And somewhere over tea, the master says to him, or the teacher says to him, the scholar says to him, do you do realize that it really doesn't matter what you read? You can read Alice in Wonderland. You could read the Bible. You could read the newspaper. Because if you're, and I'm using these words, if your consciousness is keyed and primed and focused on Zen, you'll find it wherever you look. If your consciousness is keyed and primed and focused on truth, you'll find it wherever you look. So when the news says, this happened here, 20 people approximately die in Orlando, Florida, as a result of a shooting, a mass shooting, what does your consciousness call you to say or do? If your consciousness calls you to go to the land of then you are not changing, shifting, and elevating the situation. But if your consciousness says, I know and understand, one, there is no such thing as death, that God is all there is and it is good, then whether I can see it or not, I know that God is in the midst of this. And may all be blessed. Can we shift our consciousness to that truth? Can we upgrade our consciousness to be able to see and say, no matter what happens, God is right there. There is nowhere that God is not. So clearly, God has to be there, whether I recognize it or not, whether I am experiencing it or not. May 2nd, my third oldest brother makes his transition. And I go home, and I'm hoping no one in my family watches this video. So I go home to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Love Pittsburgh. The family, ooh. You know how they say if you ever want to know how enlightened you are, spend some time with your family? Okay, so I digress. So I go home, you know, to do what we do for family funerals. And things go on and things go on and things go on. And I'm reminded over and over and over again how much my family members, as a whole, as a collective, don't like me. As a whole and as a collective, how they are ashamed of me because I don't fit in their mold. The number of times I was referred to as the shy, quiet one. Now, granted, yes, I used to be the quiet, shy. Yes. That used to be my truth. But it's no longer my truth. But for them, they still believe that I am the quiet, shy, where did he go? He's in the corner over there somewhere eating cake. So we go on and we go through these variety of things with these wonderful, loving people. And each moment, as we're driving to Pittsburgh, I'm Om Shanti, Om Shanti Shanti. I'm doing mudras and mantras and yoga in the car because I got to get prepped. I got to get ready because I know what these people have done. I remember the old me, so I know. But I know if I don't prep and prepare, it's not going to be pretty. So I prep. Get my consciousness in order. I get there. Things are okay. You know, stuff comes at me. Oh, Matrix. Wow. Till I get to the point where it's like, and it stops. Oh, I don't know how I did that, but oh, I'm glad. So we get to the time of the actual funeral. And my mother did not make the phone calls that she was supposed to make to get the person she wanted to do the funeral stuff, which is understandable. It's her child. She's grieving. But no one else takes the reins, and I offer, and I'm not given the phone number, so I'm like, So at some point, someone has the bright idea, ask Monty to do it.
Ask who?
Who are you talking about? Ask who to do it, because I know them. I know what kind of service they want. They want to fall over, pass out, tambourine, Jesus shouting. Now... There is a part of me. Y'all gonna make me ring this bell. There's a part of me that could have faked it. But would I have been authentic to myself by preaching this false God? Because that's what I would have been preaching to them. Over my brother's body is a false God. This entire trip made me really start thinking about this whole concept, though. Which then ties me back to, I'm going to share this with you, because it's a thought that I've been having recently. We come to unity or religious science or divine science or agape or any other new thought metaphysical center, church, place of, for one of two reasons. We're either coming there or here as... if this is a hospital, and we're here for physical therapy. Follow me. Oh, that's going to happen, eh? Don't want to start laughing yet. Wait, give me a chance. Anybody in here ever been to physical therapy? Okay, well, a lot of hands. Okay, me too, because I had surgery in this knee. And you go to physical therapy. Is physical therapy meant to last your entire remainder of your life? No. It's a short-term thing. It's because something has happened in our life that has broken us in some way. Broken an arm while skiing, broken an ankle while skateboarding, something, because I know y'all skateboard. We did something that caused an injury, and we go to the hospital, we then go to physical therapy to heal. Something in life has broken us, whether it was some form of religion, some abusive lifestyle, something. And somewhere, spirit availed this and said, this is your place to be healed. So we came here, and we shifted our consciousness, and we started, wow, I feel good, and oh, yes. And then it's time to leave physical therapy and go to the gym for maintenance. So we are either here because we're broken and we need to be healed, or we've already been healed, but we like the pampering that physical therapy gives us, so we try to stay in physical therapy rather than going to the gym for maintenance. And when we go to the gym, we need a personal trainer. That's what the minister, the lay leaders, Reiki masters, that's what they're the physical therapists who say, 10 more jumping. No, you need to pray and meditate daily. You know, read this book by Myrtle Fillmore. That's what the gym personnel are giving us to maintain whatever level of consciousness we are now at. And I lied, I'm sorry, because there are actually four. Because once you've been personally trained, or you've been in physical therapy for a certain amount of time, you may decide, I want to now become a personal trainer or a physical therapist. So now you have to upgrade your training, your consciousness even more, so that now you are welcoming in people to help them shift their consciousness. But every physical therapist that I know has to still maintain in the gym. Because I'm trust and believe, 2012, I've told you this before, 2012, I was almost 300 pounds or 300 pounds-ish. I'm not going to a personal trainer who no, dude, you got a donut in your mouth now. I need you to help me. What are you doing? So to maintain as a personal trainer, we have to walk the walk. But if you don't, and talk the talk, but if you don't know what that means, how do you do it? And there are a lot of things in New Thought, in metaphysics, that are vague. There are a lot of phrases that we say that if we really don't sit down and, one, admit, I really don't know what that means. I know Charles Fillmore said, I don't know what that means. And, okay, I understand what it means. I don't know what it means to live that. Because if we're not taking whatever these words are and putting them on our life, then it's just lip service. For example, there's a quote by Charles Fillmore where he says, faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. What? Spiritual assurance, the power to do the seemingly impossible. It is the magnetic power to draw unto us our heart's desire from the invisible spiritual substance. Faith is a deep inner knowing that which we seek is already ours for the taking. Now, our faith is based on what we feel, we believe, and we know as truth. Because you're not going to believe in something that on some level you don't believe is true. For example, you go camping, you hear a sound, you think it's Bigfoot. Then that means on some level you believe that there is a truth called Bigfoot, and it's right over there behind that tree, and it's on its way after me. So if you ever question or want to know, what is the truth that I believe? Look at your life. And if you're not feeling particularly aware enough to do that, ask a close friend or family member. What do you hear me say often? What kind of things do I do often? Because that is scripture, sacred text, showing up in our lives. The words that we speak come from the thoughts that we think. You're not going to speak Japanese, Chinese, Hebrew, if you're not on some level able to think Japanese, Chinese, Hebrew, Aramaic. You're not going to be, you can't do it. So it has to somewhere be in your consciousness. So when you say things like, money don't grow on trees, what is your consciousness? Your consciousness is based in scarcity. When we say things like, I hate whatever it is, I hate traffic. Hate is a very strong energy. And you know how we talk about in the law of attraction, or we talk about spirit doesn't know the difference between when we affirm negative things. It's like all spirit hears is, I don't want to be sick. Spirit doesn't necessarily hear the don't want to, I want sick. Boop, your wish is my command kind of thing, right? Regardless whether you believe that or not, it's worth thinking about. What words come out of my mouth? And are these words truly edifying to my life? You know, we talk about devotion and what it means to be devoted. A devoted husband, a devoted wife, a devoted father, a devoted mother, a devoted child, sibling, whatever. Devoted. Do you realize that if you are not devoted to yourself, you are dissing God? If God is you in human form, then every time you criticize yourself for any infraction, in essence, you are dissing God. I'm fat. I'm too tall, too short. I'm whatever. You may as well just be saying, God, wherever it is that you are, you're everywhere, so I can, wherever. You're fat. You're skinny. You're poor. You're, the list goes on. If you are not feeding yourself in the most healthy manner, what are you feeding God? If you are not taking care of your body, mind, and spirit, the very temple of God, then what is your devotion? What are you truly devoted to? Are you devoted to abusing yourself? Are you devoted to being less than? Are you devoted to shifting your consciousness so that you can allow spirit to move through you and in you and with you and as you in every step? Because when you're moving and being from that place, nothing can stop you. We heard about Anne Frank, Viktor Frankl, Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey, the list goes on. Mahatma Gandhi. You know, there's a story of Gandhi. Gandhi was on a train, and a reporter from England was asking him, you know, I've got to go back to England, and I'm supposed to report to them, like, what is your message? Like, what are you doing? Gandhi smiles and takes out a little scrip of paper and scribbles something and folds it and hands it to the guy. Train stops, he gets off. The guy's like, oh, I got it! He opens it, and all it said was, my life is my message. Your life is your message. The truth that you believe, whatever it is showing up in your life. And as we already know, truths can shift, truths can change, because there is my truth and your truth. But then there is the truth. And the truth is, God is all there is. God is love itself. Not simply loving, but God is love itself. And as love itself, it cannot be anything other than loving. And if I am of it, it is moving and shaping all that I am, then how could I not in some way be love in expression unless I block it? Because my truth says, you know, I don't, you know, mom said, boy, you bring yourself down a peg or two. So I buy into that. And I lower myself, and I become devoted to being subservient to the lie. In other words, I become a Satan worshiper. I listen to the lie. I believe the lie rather than the truth. Satan, the father of all lies. Do I want to buy into the lie? Do I want to buy into that element of, or do I want to say no? My truth is, yes, I was an abused child. That's a fact. So what? My family don't, some of them, once again, as a group, don't like me. So what? They're ashamed of me for whatever reason. So what? If I know who and what I am, then I'm fine. And knowing who and what I am and living that truth, what am I now able to do that I wasn't able to do before? I can love them more. Because I can express to them, you don't know who and what you are. Because if you did, you wouldn't be trying to hurt me. So what I'm going to do is give you all of the love from a distance, if need be, but all of the love. Just saying, boundaries are healthy. So if I need to send Reiki from a distance, I will do it. But I am able, because of what I now know and believe, to love them in a way that I wasn't before because it was based upon an untruth, based upon someone else's requirements, criteria, and rubric, rather than the rubric of creation itself, of love itself, of divinity itself. Because that's who and what each of us are in expression. You are sacred. You are so holy right here, right now, that everywhere you walk becomes more sacred. Everyone who sees you and everyone that you see sees the face of God. Everyone that you hear and everyone who hears you hears the voice of God. And everyone that you touch and everyone that touches you is touching the very hand of God. It can be no other way, because that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen.